America, from the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, you are tuned in to the Johnny Punish Show, produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio, brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I've spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun. And I hit the ground running.
When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity. And now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend, believe me. But they're killing us economically. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. It only makes common sense. They're sending us not the right people. It's coming from more than Mexico. It's coming from all over South and Latin America, and it's coming probably from the Middle East. But we don't know, because we have no protection and we have no competence. We don't know what's happening. And it's got to stop. And it's got to stop fast.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me.
Tonight, we are going to speak with Mr. Henry regarding the Trump and the Nine Dwarfs coming up on the GOP debate. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today, Johnny?
Fantastic, Michael. Should I call you Mike or Michael?
I prefer Michael. Mike's fine. I go by Mike, usually.
Yeah, but much more formal, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Mike sounds like that dog in Beverly Hills, Mike the dog.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to play something for you real quick, and then we're going to comment.
On the Republican side, the candidates are now in a collision course in New Hampshire. Nearly a dozen of them are in the battleground state tonight as they hurtle towards the first real test, the inaugural debate this week. Our Peter Alexander is in New Hampshire tonight. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lester, good evening to you. Donald Trump is skipping this voter forum here in New Hampshire tonight, confident he's going to be center stage of that first official Republican debate this Thursday in Ohio. It's his brash style that has fueled his surge in the polls, but it's also backfiring. Here's our latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that shows 61% of registered voters say they believe Trump is hurting the Republican Party's image. Among registered Republicans, nearly half say Trump is hurting the party. Trump also repeatedly vowed that he will win the Latino vote, but 75% of Latinos say they have a negative view of him after those controversial comments he made about undocumented Mexican immigrants. So who will join Trump on stage? Right now, the battle is for those final two spots down to the wire between Chris Christie, Rick Perry, and Kasich, John Kasich of Ohio. Perry right now, the odd man out. The lineup will officially be set tomorrow night. Lester?
Peter Alexander, New Hampshire. Thank you.
So there you go. We got Donald Trump coming to a theater near you on this Thursday. What do you think?
I honestly, I didn't hear what you're saying, so if you want to recap it.
Well, the listeners heard it. That's what counts.
Yeah.
This Thursday, we have a debate going on. Of course, the big Republicans are going to be showing up. And of course, all of them. And then Donald Trump. He says... he's not a debater. He's never been in a debate, and that he is not experienced, so he's lowering expectations on Thursday. I'm sure everybody's going to be attacking him on the stage on Thursday. What do you think?
Well, I think that's probably a good idea for him to try and downplay his abilities, although supposedly he's a tough negotiator, so you would think he'd at least be able to challenge other folks' ideas and put forth his own agenda. And be talented in that regard, if he is indeed a good negotiator. I mean,
well, he wrote the book 20 years ago, The Art of the Deal. I mean, this man is a famous negotiator. He's not just a minimum negotiator. In fact, when I was a young man, I actually read that book because I wanted to be a professional negotiator. I read Roger Dawson's book, The Secrets of Power Negotiating, and of course Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. And I tell you what, back 20 years ago when the, basically the go-go 80s at the end of it, he was a popular figure. He was regarded as a top dog businessman, like a lot of people still think of him today. I mean, he's obviously a billionaire.
Yeah, well, I've heard differing opinions. I mean, I know people that know Trump that are in that league. And according to everything I've heard, he's not really as big of a deal as he puts forth. You know, that being said, I don't know. That's just going from my personal experience from people that I trust. But, you know, he's an actor, you know, just like everyone else, in my opinion.
But, an actor. The reality actor Donald Trump posing as a negotiator, posing as a presidential candidate.
Well, that's indeed true. I mean, if you look at where he's given his donations over the years, a lot of them have gone to Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation,
right?
A lot of other Democrats. So he kind of plays both sides of the field. And it'd be interesting to see. But I think the bigger concern is, why are they having presidential debates so far in advance of an election? I mean, this election cycle is just outrageous. It's going to be like, what, 2 years, and then next it'll be 3 or 4. I mean, people have been running for president since Obama first took office, I think. So I think that's a bigger dilemma facing the country than, you know, what Donald Trump says. The fact that we're having these prolonged multi, you know, probably hundreds of millions of dollars for every candidate to even be involved in them.
Right. And I think that's part of the Trump phenomena. I mean, the reason what I can ascertain from what the people that support him like is that they are actually sick of the status quo. They are actually sick of the system, and he's talking in plain English almost like Ross Perot did 20 years ago, and they're gravitating towards that. So it might be just a rejection of the status quo system. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I don't know what his intentions are. I know my only experience in knowing it who he is from all the Howard Stern interviews that he's done. Well, no, but they're very talented as far as how he is as a person, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And there's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of, there's probably like at least 10 or 12 hours of Donald Trump talking to Howard Stern over the years.
Right, Howard can get the best out of anybody. He can actually get you to talk.
Yeah, 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 and he can also get the worst out of anybody. But Donald Trump's always been really smart when conversing with Howard, so he's obviously intelligent. Like I said, I don't know if that's his money he's doing everything with, or, you know what I mean, right, things of that nature. He's self-made to a certain extent, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I think people say they're fed up with the system, but I don't think they really are. I mean, most people work from 9 to 5. They commute an hour each way to work. They're lucky they get to spend 2 or 3 hours with their kids, so I don't think they're really involved in the political process. And I think everyone is just kind of fed up with it, sure. But if they actually want something that's out of the box or extraordinary, I don't think, one, they'll get it with Donald Trump. And two, I don't think that's what they really want, because that's an unknown. That's an X factor. And I think people are afraid of the unknown.
Right. And he's never actually held political office in the political system in the United States, right?
As far as I know, no, of course not.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, yeah, who's the next best guy? Jeb?
See, that's my thinking, is that he's just there to take all the flack for Jeb Bush, and eventually he'll get brought down, you know, through the course of this process to where he won't be the number one contender anymore. Or maybe if he is, he'll be so battered, and or it'll be a waste of his time because he has all these businesses he has to attend to, and then he'll give his support to Jeb Bush and ensure that Jeb Bush gets the nomination. Is what I think is how it's going to play out.
Jeb just announced that he thinks that the Donald Trump phenomenon is actually good for him because it takes away from Scott Walker, who, you know, from the governor of Wisconsin, who's extremely right.
I don't know who that is. I mean, there's too many people in the Republican nomination at this point to even care. I mean, I really don't care. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's too many people. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Rand Paul's kind of interesting, but I think, like his dad, he'll flake out the last minute.
Well, he's not even going to be in the debate stage, as far as I know.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous, because he is pretty popular. So
for some reason, they're saying that Fox News is saying he's not in the top 10, so therefore he cannot make it into the debate.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous.
I could be wrong on that. I'll have to double check that. But
No. I'm sure you're probably right because Fox News hates Rand Paul. They're neoconservatives. They're all neocons at Fox News, right? Like MSNBC is all neoliberals.
Right.
They're not actual liberals. They're not actual conservatives. But Rand Paul's kind of a paleoconservative. And he resonates with a lot of people because he tries to be as honest and forthcoming as he can be in that position. But, I just think that Jeb Bush is right. Donald Trump is good for him, not just for the reason of Scott Walker, whoever you said, but I think they're working in tandem together. I mean, if you believe George W. Bush got elected to the presidency, then there's probably something wrong with you. Everyone knows that election is fixed. All elections, in my opinion, are fixed because the computer software manager – I mean, Diebold is the company that makes these voting machines, the majority of them, and they can't even make an ATM machine correctly. I deposited a check in an ATM machine by Diebold, and it didn't even show up in my bank account for 3 weeks. So that's a true story, hand to God.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, Jimmy Carter, president of the United States, declared today – I don't know if you heard – but he declared that the USA officially is not a democracy.
Well, it's never been a democracy, so he's right there. It's a representative republic.
Well, that's true. I think he was using the commonly held meaning of democracy by the average person who thinks we live in a democracy. I think he was just trying to say that the US, because of Citizens United, really isn't anything close to a democracy.
It really has become just a corporate kleptocracy or fascist regime, really. I agree with him on that. Although Jimmy Carter, a lot of people like him for some reason, but you know, he's kind of the guy that started Al Qaeda and funded Osama bin Laden and worked a lot with Zbigniew Brzezinski. So you can't really trust where he's coming from, in my opinion. Might be a nice guy to hang out with, but he's right on that point. Our democratic process is wholly subsided to the way of technocracy and software programs. And, you know, and that's all Brzezinski wrote about back in the 70s. He's talking about the internet before he even knew who the internet was. And that's kind of the guy that made not only Carter, but also he's kind of like the liberal, neoliberal version of Henry Kissinger. So, you know.
Right.
That's,
so, I mean, what do you think's going to happen on Thursday? Is this going to be a TV show that everybody's going to watch?
Yeah, well, I don't know if everyone's going to watch it. Some people will watch it, but I'm sure there's probably – I mean, it's Thursday. Is it on NBC?
Well, it's probably on or before The Apprentice show, I suppose.
Is The Apprentice still on? They didn't pull that one?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even watch TV. And I think most of the young people don't watch TV. I think it's the older folk that actually do. But it looks like this is going to be a big, huge debate for ratings because everybody wants to see if – Trump's going to fire back at these guys. They're going to throw digs at him. And he just called McCain a non-hero. And that's Lindsey Graham's friend. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, that's a crazy. Yeah, I can't believe you did that to McCain. That's crazy.
And you're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like John McCain.
I mean, he's your
neighbor. I've heard a lot of. No, I don't know. Maybe. But his daughter is actually pretty cool, Cindy McCain. So not to diss the McCain family in general, but. It's kind of dangerous to go after his war record. I mean, I understand the point he's trying to make, but I think he's kind of being tongue-in-cheek and a bit sarcastic. But that's he's breaking new political. He's going to stumble on his own feet, look like a buffoon, and then Jeb Bush will come out the hero. Is what I'm predicting eventually will happen.
So you think the elite have already decided what's going to happen?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to give it to Bush. I don't think they can give it to Clinton because she's too. Just beaten up, too easily blackmailed, and broken all kinds of laws while she's been Attorney General, or Secretary of State, or whatever. But I think it's all been predicted, and it's a selection process, not an election process.
Right. Well, a funny thing, I've been posting for about 3 years that it was going to be Jeb versus Hillary, and I've been posting that on my Facebook page, and it is documented. So I believe, like you do, that the elites have decided who it's going to be and who they want. And this whole other thing is just basically a fun sideshow for the appearance of democracy, appearance of a republic.
Right. Just like we have the appearance of freedom because we can go into the store and buy 50 different cereals all made by five different companies. So it gives the appearance. It gives the appearance that we have a choice in the marketplace, but really, right. You know what I mean? We don't.
Right.
I mean, that's how America is. It's very good at marketing. I think Bernays did quite a job within the advertising industry with his philosophies. And yeah, America has just become one crazy pyramid marketing scheme. From my point of view, anyways. You know. But yeah, it'll be a sideshow for sure. I mean, it might be entertaining television to watch, you know, 10 Republicans argue, but they have so many people in their field that it's just insane, and it can't be good for the party overall. And I would just wait for, you know, both shoes to drop off Trump's feet, and then they'll get right back on Jeb Bush.
It's going to be a fun show on Thursday. I'm going to watch it. I'll let you know how it goes, because I'm sure you're not going to watch it.
Oh, no,
you
are? I'll probably watch it. Yeah. I'm in Arizona. It's 110 every day, so I stay out in the swimming pool the best I can. But yeah. Of course, I'll watch it. I'll be forced to watch it because it'll be covered by other media outlets. And that's the thing too about America is you can't really, even if you don't watch the news, you can't escape it because it seeps its way into radio shows, TV shows, other outlets, YouTube. You know what I mean? Eventually, it all gets filtered in. So you can say no to the mainstream media all you want, but that's like an ocean that goes into streams and rivers throughout the entire lexicon of American pop culture.
Right. And so the politicians are actually in bed with the media. They have no choice.
Well, it's come out that the government pays for a lot of the media. So, you know, follow the money, as the old saying goes. And that's come out numerous times. Before, it was kind of a conspiracy theory is what they call it, I think. But the government's come out and admitted it, that they pay for the movies to be made, they pay for television shows. And then also what's happened in our country, I know when I went to college, which was a while ago, in journalist classes and things like that, they teach people to go and use official sources. And I think Hirsch is kind of the proponent of that originally. So when you go to use official sources, well, who are the officials? They're the bureaucrats, they're the NGOs, they're the government agencies, the corporations. And that's kind of killed investigative journalism or journalism in general throughout the years.
Right. And that's what VT is kind of all about. I mean, we are truly independent. Believe me, not corporate sponsored whatsoever. But it's not mainstream, obviously, and we don't get a majority of the people listening to it. It is alternative media by its nature. It's unfortunate because most people do listen to mainstream media and just believe everything they read and everything they hear. So it is a struggle, but
that's why I'm going back. Most people only have 2 or 3 hours a day tops to themselves. Like, it's really sad. It's almost like a form of slavery. I mean, people are up at 6, they're in their cars by like 7, they're at work by 8. They don't even get paid for lunch anymore. They're off work by 5. They have a lot of traffic. They're lucky for home by 6:30. You know what I mean? It's just like a big hassle. The American nightmare. You know,
not the American dream that we were taught.
Yeah. Well, it could be, but there's so much paperwork. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard. Like, say you want to open a burger shop. You know how impossible that is? Like, so no, you're not going to open a burger shop. You're going to go work, you know, at some other McDonald's or corporate place because, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sad. I mean, and that's the way it is, you know, unfortunately.
You mean the cost of entry is too high, too bureaucratic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know the last time you've been driving around the States, but in the last 8 years, I lived probably 10 years. I've lived in 3 or 4 different states now. And everywhere you go, there's every community almost has 5 or 6 for lease signs in every single little strip mall, because that's what America is basically, is a bunch of strip malls. And no one's renting them, but they're not lowering the price so that people can start their own businesses. You know what I mean? So every player it doesn't look bombed out, because it's not completely destroyed, but it's very odd when you see all these foreclosed houses with no one living in them, and you see all these rental spaces that could be small businesses that are just completely empty, and it's ridiculous.
Well, do you think the Republican Party has any resilient solutions or anything that resonates with you that might be something that might improve the United States of America down the road?
Well, Rand Paul, going back to him, and I don't know if many people really consider him a Republican or a Libertarian, but he's been very active with trying to gather money from Colorado and other Washington State, going to the actual marijuana growers and things like this, And I think if that were legalized, it could change the construct of American economics to the point where it'll bring in a lot of tax revenue and provide a lot of jobs. But working on infrastructure might be a good idea, but it doesn't seem like anyone's really even talking about that.
Well, actually, the Democrats with Obama have been fighting for infrastructure for many, many years. Unfortunately, can't get anything passed through the Congress to fund it, apparently.
Well, he could take all the money out of the war budget and out of the secret black ops budget and fund it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that guy's a warmonger. He's attacking Syria all the time. He's spending, you know, billions upon billions of dollars. And that's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life, is to see, like, someone who's liberal and then see his followers, other liberals, be pro-war. I never thought I would see that ever in my lifetime, where actual liberals were pro-killing other people. Like, that's just beyond me. But there's money to – believe me, there's money to fix the infrastructure. They just don't want to give up their budgets for all these wars, I guess. I guess the building companies don't have much clout as the people who build the bombs.
Right. Well, that's actually – I agree with you on that, Mike. See, I'm of a big believer that the president of the United States doesn't have as much – power as people think he does or she does. They're part of a system, and to get in that position, you have to make deals with the people in power, and the military industrial complex is extremely powerful. We saw that with George W. Bush and the wars that he waged in Iraq and Afghanistan, and all the monies that were made, the trillions that were just lost, don't know where they were. I have a friend in the U.S. military that served in Iraq twice, and he's literally a millionaire. This is a special forces soldier that was earning $3,000 a month for his combat duty, and all of a sudden he turns out to be a millionaire. How does that happen, man?
Oh, I heard it happened from them stealing a lot of Iraq. First of all, let's talk about Iraq. I mean, that's the cradle of civilization right there. Anyone that doesn't know that is just, you know, out of their minds. But there was a lot of artwork and a lot of precious statues, things like this. And I heard when they first went in there, that's where they guarded first, were all the artifacts. Yeah. They were really concerned with the people. You know, and there's priceless things that go back to the beginning of civilization that are from Iraq. So there's, you know, obviously a lot of money there.
That's true, too. But in the case of my friend, Mike, he actually, after he got out of the service and with all his connections, he became an arms trader with the military-industrial complex. So he was making tons of money taking arms from Bulgaria, believe it or not, with the U.S. State Department approval, by the way, of course, and then shipping them over to Iraq police and to Afghanistan as well, and taking his commissions, and that's how he made his millions. But my point is that the war for the Republicans or the Democrats – they're still making money. The military-industrial complex, the leaders are making cash.
Oh, yeah, and then afterwards they'll go ahead and work for these same companies and be on the board, chairman of the board, you know what I mean, on the board of directors or whatever. It's just crazy. That's what fascism is, too, by the way. I mean, it's the marrying of the state and the corporate interests, which is, I think Mussolini is the one that said fascism is really just corporatism, you know. And it's sad. I mean, we have the guys from the FCC. They're actually, you know, working for the cable companies or this and that. And it's like, what? You know what I mean? It's just crazy. We have people that work for Goldman Sachs that are working directly for the president. At the time that the bailout happened, and, you know, they were given, like, they don't even say how much money they've given thus far. They still keep giving them money. So,
well, to me, what's astonishing, Mike, is that if you hate Obama, then you hate everything about him, and he's a warmonger and this and that. And then if you hate Bush, then he's a warmonger and everything like that, but you love Obama. It's really, to me, I see both sides of the same coin. To me, it's everything's the same. And to me, it looks like one party with two factions that differ on some things. But in reality, when it comes to foreign policy, it's just one freaking big money-making party, corporatocracy, that has nothing to do with the interests of the American people, but everything to do with the interest of the elites around the world, the globalists.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're reading a script and they're just two different characters in the same play. You know, that's why a lot of people, you know, call it like, it's like WWE, you know what I mean? Because the things they differ on are like, oh, we should change this by 10%. No, we should change it by 15%. You know what I mean? It's still the same idea. It's just, you know, one's slightly more aggressive than the other in some regards. I mean, like, the Democrats are slightly more aggressive in other regards. It's ridiculous. But
what's upsetting to me, Mike, is that I see really good people online that I talk to. These are very nice, normal people. And if they hate Bush, they hate everything about every Republican idea ever brought up.
Yeah.
You know, or if they hate Obama, it's everything the Democrats and Obama hate. It's like so polarizing, ridiculous, why the elites continue to make money off these poor people, raping them to death. And it's really upsetting to me.
I think that's identity politics. Is that what it's called? Identity
politics? I don't know. You can call it whatever you want. But 20 years ago, I didn't see that. So when I see it today, I'm appalled by it, and I'm disappointed at very deeply.
Well, I mean, there used to be the Reagan Democrats, you know what I mean? There used to be Democrats that would vote Republican if the Republican was the better candidate. There used to be Republicans that would vote for Democrats if they were the better candidate. But, everyone's just taking this Coke or Pepsi kind of approach and forgotten about Dr. Pepper.
Well, to me, and I challenge all those people out there listening, for me, I challenge everybody to be an all-American. Be an American. It's not black. It's not white. There's no green people, blue people. There's only American people. And whether Bush, Jeb, George, Obama, Clinton, and for my taste, I like Dr. Jill Stein from the Green Party. She attracts me. Or Bernie Sanders, even. He's an outsider as well. Whoever these people are, we're all Americans. We've got to fight for what's best for America, and we've got to defeat the system that is actually stopping our democracy, stopping our ability to do what's in the best interest of the American people. What say you?
But see, that would be great if it were true, but the government's the largest employer in America. So what's best for the American people is that they have their jobs working for the government. So they promote the idea of the government and promote that it's realistic and it's has some sort of authority over them. It's quite unfortunate, but let's face the facts. The government is the largest employer in the United States of America. It has been for quite some time, and people are more interested in keeping their jobs and doing the right thing, unfortunately. But that's kind of the truth of the situation.
That's
and
terrible.
Those are the ones that are going to be voting are the ones whose jobs are on the line. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they've done a great job of kind of disenfranchising a lot of other people from voting by never giving them a real choice, and people understanding that either way they're kind of screwed, and so that eliminates them from the process, which is, I feel, done by design, and it's been done for decades. And if we do get a president that does want to make a change, I think the last one we had that was pretty radical is Kennedy, and everyone knows what happened to him. Obviously, Nixon made a lot of changes, and everyone knows what happened to him. And even Noam Chomsky says that Nixon was the last liberal president we had, so that kind of puts us in a scary position. You know, yeah. Noam Chomsky is very liberal. So,
well, it's a new world order that we're living in now. The globaltocracy is here. It's evident everywhere you look. We see that all over the place. The real question is, Mike, is America going to get better, or is it going to get worse after 2016?
Well, that's $1 million question. It seems like it's going to get worse. I mean, it has been getting worse. I haven't seen anything getting better in my lifetime, and that's kind of sad. But I remember being so optimistic when Bill Clinton was elected, and he really did a number on this country, and no one even realized it because he's the one that removed the Glass-Steagall, which eventually in 2008 caused the economic breakdown. I don't know. It would take someone with a lot of integrity in order to do that, and it would take probably an outsider, which doesn't seem to be. No, not at all. Like I said before, he's a great guest on Howard Stern. I don't know. He's a great actor when he's acting like the head of a corporation. You say he can make a good deal. You don't get all that money out of thin air, and it's you don't make wealth on your own like that. So obviously he has partners that he's worked with for a number of years. You know what I mean? It's just obvious. And he's not. I think he's a fall guy. Like I said, he's donated a lot of money to the Democrats. He's not a true blood conservative or Republican. He's acting like he's a neocon now.
But he's not.
He's an entertainer. I mean, let's face facts. He's he's a personality. He's a television personality. He's a radio personality. You know, he's a personality.
I mean, he was out there calling Mexicans rapists, saying the Mexican government is sending their people who are rapists. And then he goes on CNN 2 weeks later and says he believes in expediting, whatever that means to him, expediting permits for workers, basically. That's what he told Dana Bash on CNN. He used the word expedite instead of work permits. But what does expedite mean? It means, you know, come to us, we'll figure something out, we'll get you pushed through, and let's get over this. So I don't even think he's a racist. I think he's just saying things out of one side and the other side, you know?
Well, the thing I really thought was funny about that is right before he said that, I had watched Scarface again, the Oliver Stone version of Scarface. I think it was directed by Brian De Palma. But if you've ever seen the movie Cocaine Cowboys, the documentary about Florida and what happened in Florida after the influx of immigrants from Cuba, and not just Cuba, a lot of them were from Guatemala, Nicaragua, Colombia, but they're all kind of labeled Cubans because that was
probably Cubans.
Yeah, yeah, in Florida anyways. But if you watch Scarface again, it's really tame and mild. It seemed explosive at the time. But what actually happened in Miami and in Florida was 100 million times worse than what could ever be portrayed in the film Scarface with Al Pacino. Again, I'll refer to the Cocaine Cowboys documentary. So it's not entirely wrong idea to say that when there's a huge influx of immigrant population, that there's a lot of crime associated with it. We know that that happened in the 1980s with all the South Americans going into Florida. So I don't think he was meaning to be racist, but there is obviously a lot of crime and a lot of criminals coming into this country. And I don't know about you. I'm assuming your family probably, like my family did. And, it's kind of a sticky subject, but facts. With a large influx of an immigrant population, there's going to be a lot of criminals, and that's just the way it is. And like I said, go watch Scarface again. Tell me that that was a good idea. And look up the crime statistics for Florida. They were outrageous, and that's not make-believe. It was on every single news show every single night just about for a while there in the mid to late 80s.
Well, I think, Mike, that's going to be a great subject for us to discuss, the immigration issue. And I'd like to do that with you at some other time, but our time is basically up for tonight. But I definitely want to have you on to discuss immigration because I think it's a great subject. And because you're in Arizona there on one side of the border and I'm in Mexico on the other side of the border, I think that would be a great contrast and a great conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought that's what we were going to do, but I guess we got sidetracked.
Yeah, we start talking about Trump and all kinds of crazy stuff. Sorry about that. But yeah, our time's up for tonight, and we'll schedule it for this week. Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, you can call anytime. I'm usually, if I'm not drinking cervezas, then I'm usually all right.
Perfect. Mike, I look forward to it. Right. On that note, I'm going to
talk to you later.
Cash and checks at the War Cafe. And and they drop the bombs on the Gaza town. Murder prophets while we all stand around. In a day's blood stains, but here's what I found. Living in a corporate time, crazy. Living in a corporate time, crazy. Living in a corporatocracy.
Everyone knows it's not democracy.
Take a rip, cause the joke is on you and me. Aristocracy, a murderocracy,
poor liar-tocracy.
So save your flocracy,
the riot-tocracy.
By throne of our crazy,
your shame of our crazy.
By plutocracy,
replace hypocrisy
with human-tocracy. Forever rock crazy, it's all crazy.
Today Network. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Find your job at HireVeterans.com.
Okay, we're on the air with UFC fighter Alex Stone. We are talking to him. He's in California, United States. Mr. Alex Stone, are you there?
I am here. It is a pleasure to be with the great Johnny Punish, the punishing pundit.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Stone. Hey, listen, Alex, we just got finished talking with Michael Henry of Goodnight America, and we were talking about the Trump phenomenon, and basically he's going to be debating with the other nine clowns this Thursday with the GOP. A year in advance of the primary.
GOP circle jerk, I'm quite familiar.
It's going to be a GOP circle jerk for sure. I have some questions for you. Since you're over there in California, over 51% Hispanic, you heard what Trump said about all Mexicans, that they're rapists. What's your reaction, Mr. Stone?
They're a bunch of fucking rapists is what Trump is talking about. You know, half of it's true.
Well, that's funny coming from an Hispanic American like yourself.
You see, I'm on the right side of the border. This is where Trump's got it right, you know?
so basically you're not a rapist, but the Mexicans are rapists?
Of course, you know, it's all a matter of imaginary line set down by white people or other known as our forefathers.
Do you consider yourself a white guy now?
You know, amongst the Mexican-American population, I am what known as a coconut.
What the hell does that mean?
Are you familiar what a coconut is?
I think I've seen one before in a tree or something. You see,
so it's quite delicious as a juice inside. But it's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the aestheticness of the coconut. Has a brown, rough outer shell, but a sweet white inside.
So you consider yourself white on the inside and brown on the outside?
I consider myself a human being on this planet Earth, but some others might equate to that, yes.
So, Zach, take it you're going to go ahead and vote for Donald Trump?
Probably not, you know, being that I don't really vote at all.
Maybe you should. It is a democracy, at least that some people think it is.
Ah, democracy, smocracy. It don't exist. It's all a fugazi, you know.
Well, actually, U.S. President Jimmy Carter announced today that the USA is not a democracy.
Well, if I've spent my time in school correctly, I would understand that we are a representative democracy is what they would like us to believe. But I do not think that. There's a lot of fuckery involved. I guess that's the layman's term.
Anyway, the U.S. president called it not a democracy. You're calling it a representative democracy. Some people call it a republic.
I'm not necessarily calling that. I'm saying that is what their reaction to that question would be. They being white people, of course. Right. But Republican white people. But, you know, it's not nice to put labels of people. Like coconut rapist, Mexican. You know, these are just words.
Yeah, you know what? I've been arguing on Facebook that there's no such thing as black, no such thing as green, white, or brown people. There's only people, and there's just Americans. We're all American people, and I'm getting a little sick and tired of this whole labeling nonsense. What do you think?
You know, I'd have to agree with that.
Agreement is good.
Being that, oh yes, agreement is quite good. Apparently, but we don't agree in this democracy, which is, you know, the whole Trump thing. Anyways.
Well, I've been arguing with my right-wing, what they call conservative right-wing friends on Facebook, and they're extremists. I mean, they are hardcore.
Whatever. Left-wing, right-wing, yeah. You know, there's the same wing on the same devil.
Yeah, well, they're basically the kind of people that think Obama is the devil, and basically everything Ted Cruz does or Trump does, no matter what they say, is 100% right.
Well, if you follow Alex Jones at all, you would know that Obama is the devil. Him and his bohemian group up in Northern California, those heathens, were preceding Moloch, the owl wise god.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Mike Henry about that in the previous 15 minutes ago, and we were discussing the fact that the system is basically the problem. That's why Trump is getting all the attention, because what people are reacting to is not his racism per se, but the fact that he's an outsider and he's talking truth to power and he's not really a Republican. He's just a guy that's spouting off on anything he wants to say because the money's not purchasing him. That's what people seem to be reacting to. What say you?
I have one comparison to Donald Trump in the past recent years, and that would be the likeness of actually two people, Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor. Both came out of almost nowhere and made a name for themselves, and they are superstars. Now, why am I comparing two awesome superstars to that fucker they call Trump? Here's the problem.
The billionaire. The apprentice.
The apprentice. You're fired. That fuck. Anyways, the way things are set nowadays is basically for shock value. Not only shock value, to get ratings. You do shit, whether it's stupid, whether it's smart, whatever, as long as it gets a shock value out of most people. Now, that whole Mexican or rapist, they're bringing drugs over the border, blah, 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 blah. That is all attention. As it is said in Hollywood, there is no bad publicity. You know, how much attention has he got himself just on those comments alone? How much attention?
Right.
Sure, he's got a couple of brown people angry, but you know what? It's the white people that matter here.
Back to the white and brown argument. bore. But I get it. I understand the politics of it. The idea that Mike and I were discussing was that the corporatocracy is really in charge, whether you're Obama, Bush, or even the next guy. It's not going to matter. The whole process and the system is going to continue. It's going to be probably Bush versus
Hillary. Just a different head on the seven-headed dragon.
And that's really the issue, the system. It's the fact that the corporatocracy is in charge. We're not democracy. You know, voting's a good event that we do on a Tuesday, which is weird. That's a weird time to do it, right? I mean, stupid, right?
It goes back to ritualistic heaving pentagrams and, you know, just it's just all nonsense.
Well, it's a show. What did George Carlin say about this whole thing? Anyways, it's something. It's a big show, and that's all it is. You know,
That's basically all it is. You have a team. You have blue team. You have red team. Blue team says blah blah blah. Red team says, oh well, here's a reaction to blah blah blah, because blah 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 is blah blah blah. And then the blues go crazy, and everyone's having a fucking circle jerk on the media. It's all attention. It's all you ever watch real TV and how they're supposed to be reality? No reality. Everything is scripted, whether it's a fucking Joe Schmo on blah 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 network or the fucking liberals or Democrats and fucking Republicans. They're all the same, more or less. Different views you could nitpick here and there, but they're all headed towards the same goal, which is destruction.
Well, Mr. Stone, you're the millennial generation. Is that correct to call you that?
Some would say that, so I would agree.
Well, obviously, that's a generation one or two below mine. What is your generation doing? Are you guys watching TV at all?
No longer. You know, if you take a look at the numbers as far as subscriptions to DirecTV, cable, and all that shit, all that has been dropping. Everything is moving to the internet. We are a nation raised on the internet, social media interactions. I guess you could say there are media outlets that we still do search for. One of my favorite ones is, of course, Vice News. They get some real shit out there, as opposed to the fuckery that happens with Fox and the Communist News Network that is CNN.
You don't even watch that stuff?
No longer. I mean, it used to intrigue me. Earlier in my years, because you know what, you're coming up to age, you feel like you're being becoming adult, being a part of this community, this society that is the United States. But then you're just shoveled shit right into your fucking mouth, and it leaves a nasty taste, and it doesn't make me want to go back.
Right, it's not attractive.
Not in the least bit. News, more or less, is supposed to be unfiltered, just information given to the people, and then you have yourself give an opinion on it. But now everything comes with opinion already perfectly packaged like a fucking Pop-Tart.
You know what? You're 100% true on that. Let me share something that I have found, and you can judge for yourself. And most people don't want to hear this because it's uncomfortable. The only news that I found on mainstream, if you want to call it mainstream media, is Al Jazeera America. And it's not even headquartered in the United States. It's headquartered in Qatar, which is in the United Arab Emirates. But when you watch it...
I'm quite familiar.
Yeah, when you watch it, you listen for the opinion and you can't find it. All you hear is, this is the news, this is what's happening in Africa, this is what's going on over here or over there or whatever. And I never get an opinion from their talking heads.
It's never just, again. All you hear in the U.S. is Nancy Grace's dead babies in Florida. Nope.
The weed's bad. Right?
Marijuana is killing our nation and our children's future. Just killing dead babies all over the place.
Yeah, she's
just
fucking crazy.
Just mounds and mounds of dead babies. Only in Florida, of course.
Right. What I'm saying is, for me to get actual news, the best news source that I could find in the U.S. is basically delivered by an Arabian company. Isn't that weird?
In the eyes of an American, it is very weird. And to the rest of the world, not quite so.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm speaking to an American person, if I say the word Al Jazeera, they automatically shut down.
That's like calling me the N-word there, Punisher.
Yeah, right. But the proof is in the pudding. Just watch it and look for an opinion. I can't find it. Now, I'm not saying they never did give an opinion. I have just never heard one. Now, I can't personally watch Fox News. That's just garbage. I don't watch MSNBC because I know what I'm getting, the Democratic propaganda. So I don't know what to watch that's delivered from the United States of America, but I do find international channels compelling.
far less opinionated and more information based, which is what I fucking love and what is why the internet brings the world together.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of fuckery, of course, that is on the internet. But you know, if you are a level headed person, it is very easy to decipher through the bullshit and wade through the confusionness that is the fuckery that most people put out to find the true light that is the information.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, that on that note, Alex, I'm gonna go ahead and play my brand new song that is just coming out in a couple weeks. I just drafted it. I'm gonna play it for the listeners. I want you guys to let me know what you think. I just finished it. It's called "Those Were the Days." So take a break, get a beer, get a cup of coffee. In my case, I have some Grand Marnier, which is some cognac from France that I'm drinking right now.
Some Grand Marnier. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. In this break, I will be smoking on a fine Granddaddy Perp. Being in California. We have some of the finest cannabis that is in the world.
Awesome. Well, hey, listen, you go ahead and smoke your cannabis. I'm going to drink my Grand Marnier, and I hope our listeners are going to do whatever they got to do. Check out the song called "Those Were the Days." It's a remake from an early 1960s song. It was really soft. I made it into a punk rock song. I got my friend David Cordero on lead guitar, Dan Cordero on bass. I'm playing the rhythm guitar. Of course, I'm singing. Marcy L., my daughter, is doing the background vocals. So I want you guys to check it out and see what you think. Here we go. Take a break, Alex. Ow! Johnny Punish. Those were the days.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern.
Those were the days, my friend.
guitar and the vocals playing. Those were the days, an early 60s tune that was really, really mellow, and decided to punk it up and turn it up and turn it into a great rock song. So what do you guys think?
Made me feel mellow, man.
Well, are you a fan of rock and roll?
I am a fan of all types of music, from rock and roll to rolling rock and all around.
Right on, man. Hey, you know what? It's just art, and every once in a while I sit around in my office, my studio, and I make some art, and that's all it really was, you know, just having a good time.
It's all it really is, man.
Yeah, man. Well, did you like the tune?
I love it. It's nice. I dig it.
Really? Okay, cool.
It's got a very old school vibe, but very new, a meaning that'll still catch on to today, but oh, most right people would consider new.
Cool.
If that makes any sense from a stoner's mind.
It sounds good to me, man. It's all good. Again, this is the Johnny Punish Show. I'd like to thank my guests, Michael Henry, and, of course, Alex Stone for being on tonight. We're going to share this online with you folks. Please give your feedback. We want to hear your comments. And don't forget to watch the debate on Thursday. Get it on.
Thank you for having me.
Good day, America. From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, this concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again.